The Athletic.
Tielemans. Iheanacho. Miate stooped bravely, but Iheanacho has it. And it's finished off by Castagna. Oh, Iheanacho! A bolt out of the blue from the men in blue. A red hot finish from Kelechi Iheanacho.
Hello and welcome to 5000 to 1, the Leicester City podcast from The Athletic. I'm Rob Tanner. Joining me as always, a man who still has nightmares about Dennis Bergkamp's performance at Filbert Street in August 1997, his former captain and Leicester legend, Matt Elliott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, Rob. Thank you. Hope you're the same. It was only a matter of time before Mr. Bergkamp got a mention, wasn't it?
And he's back in the news, isn't he, Matt? He's back
in
the news.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought that might spring producer Joel's attention, but it's every time I hear his name, a shiver runs down my spine. Going back to that fateful day when Leicester, what was it, 97, I think it was, we ended up drawing 3-3 against the mighty Arsenal. It sounds good on the face of it, but when you see the actual footage and the reality, Dennis Bergkamp making a monkey out of me when he completed his hat-trick, but what a hat-trick it was. And in fairness, if anyone's going to make you look foolish, then it might as well be Dennis Bergkamp, wouldn't it? But I remember being made similarly foolish, to look similarly foolish, by Trevor Benjamin in training. Now, that was something to get upset about.
Okay. I was about to say, is Bergkamp the best you've faced? But is Trevor Benjamin the best you've ever faced?
No, Bergkamp just gets the nod, I think.
Wonderful. Right, we'll crack on because we've got plenty to discuss again this week in 5000 to 1. It's going so well for Leicester on the pitch. Not so well with a bit of bad news on the injury front as well. We're going to get all into that in a second. But right now, you can subscribe to The Athletic for a special price of £3.99 a month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. So go to theathletic.com/LeicesterPod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That's theathletic.com/LeicesterPod. Right then, Matt. Well, let's start with Monday night. Crystal Palace at home. It looks like it was going to be a banana skin. And I can imagine the nerves amongst the City faithful will be jangling when they went behind to that goal, Wilfred Zaha goal, after just 12 minutes. But to come back, to show that resilience, it made me think a little bit about what happened last season. And have they grown from that? Have they learned from that? Have they got more of that resilience to see themselves over the line? Because they're in a very similar position with 5 games to go, West Ham at home. And they turned that round, got a victory, and you know they got that lovely little cushion now, 7 points in the top four. But last season, after that game, it all went awry. But I've got a feeling it's going to be different this time.
Yeah, there's definitely that feel about it, Rob, isn't there? I mean, look at the points tally now is the same, I believe, as the tally that Leicester ended up with in the last campaign. So 5 games to go, got a big chance to improve on that. You would expect them to do so. And they just look to have more about them this time round, don't they? We've mentioned it in weeks gone by, haven't we? More flexibility, more durability within the squad, different ways to win games. They've adapted so well this time round up to this point. Still work to do, but I'm quietly confident with the position that they're in at the moment. I mean, 7 points plus a positive goal difference ahead of fifth place West Ham. I know Liverpool are lurking as well. But you've got to be confident, haven't you? And I think Monday sort of epitomised the difference between this season and last. If that had occurred, as it did pretty much last campaign, they would have struggled. But they've got extra resolve this time round. And you know, whilst I wasn't totally confident that they were going to turn things round, you know, at the half-time interval, because the record for Leicester this season at King Power, they've gone behind, I think it's 4 times, and haven't managed to salvage a point even on any of those occasions. But, yeah, I think it just reflected the the different mentality that is in the camp at the moment. And they showed great patience, really, and discipline and belief in themselves that they could turn it round. You know, I think they changed it a little bit in terms of, you know, a bit more. Brendan Rodgers mentioned it about a bit more pace in their passing, which you want in any game, the greater width, but they just got it together. They were a bit more proactive, weren't they? And I thought maybe the two goals sort of typified the change of approach as well, because they were both balls that were, you know, courageous, really, or you know, risky. And there's a high element of danger, you know, in the completion of the initial pass. Tillemans the first one, Johnny Evans the second. But they backed themselves, took a little bit of a gamble, and it came off. And obviously, Iheanacho played his part in both goals. You know, he was the man again, wasn't he? But, Palace make it difficult for you as well, don't they, Rob? You know, especially when they get a goal ahead, they drop into that 4-5-1 and you start panicking and scratching your head a bit, thinking, how are Leicester going to get through? But they came up with the goods, and that man, Iheanacho, was unbelievable, wasn't he, really? I mean, the two goal contributions aside, I thought he set up Vardy on a couple of occasions. It was a real genuine threat, and Leicester deservedly got the win in the end.
Well, let's talk about the system that Brendan's employed, because he seems to be forced on him in terms of the injuries that he had to wide players. He had no wide players with Harvey Barnes out, Cengizunda, Maddison was out, Perez was out injured at one stage. He had no choice but to throw Kelechi in with Jamie Vardy in a two-man attack. And it's worked to a T. Obviously, we've discussed in previous podcasts that back three of Siunsu, Fofana and Evans, and how effective they've been. But the system in general, with Castagna getting up the top of the field to equalise at the start of the second half, him providing the width, and young Luke Thomas coming in, and even their little change in midfield as well, whereas before it was Ndidi alongside Tielemans in a holding role, and then a number 10 in front, whether that was Perez or Maddison. And he seems to have changed that as well. The Maddison or Perez, whoever he chooses, seems to be playing more on the left side of a midfield three. And it might have been forced upon him, but it's working perfectly now. I mean, the only blip was the Man City and West Ham games, when he didn't have the three quality lads at the back, and he had to have Daniel Amate come in, who's done a job this season, but really is not a Fofana in any stretch of the imagination at the moment. But it really is a system that's bringing out the best in Iheanacho, best in the back three. He's got the width from the wing-backs. The only question would be, when Harvey Barnes is fit, and there's some news on Harvey in a minute, where would he fit into that system?
Yeah, it's something that people are mulling over already, aren't they? You know, and have been for a little while. But they're not overly concerning themselves with it just now, because how Leicester are playing, as you mentioned, with the two up top and the lineup as it is, they're being hugely successful. And that's where I go back to my previous point, really. Leicester have applied different systems with different personnel throughout the season. And, you know, just a quick side note as well, that they've coped admirably with three long-term injuries. Ricardo's been out extensively. Justin still is. Barnes still is. Probably to the end of the season, it seems.
And it is, yeah.
You know, for a team like Leicester, and a club of its size, to cope so well is remarkable, really. And I think it gets a little bit understated, really. But yeah, it's interesting to see Brendan Rodgers at work, isn't it? I think his coaching ability has really come to the fore. He is an elite coach, without any shadow of a doubt. And I thought on Monday night at half time, I thought possibly that might be a time and a place to maybe tinker with the system a little bit. Did they need three centre-halves up against just Benteke effectively throughout that second period when they're trying to force the issue? But, you know, the three centre-halves remained intact and they were passing the ball across, always with half an eye forward. But you're right, Castagna and Thomas, they just pushed forward that extra 10 yards, didn't they? Stretched the game a little bit. Fofana and Soanchu sometimes squeezed into areas and tried to join in play when they could. Johnny Evans, you know, was spraying the ball around from the middle of the park. We saw that effectively with the second goal. But, yeah, they apply themselves so cleverly, don't they? As you mentioned there, the number 10 role, whether it's Maddison, Perez, Sometimes they're in behind the front two as an out-and-out number 10, but defensively they drop in left-hand side because otherwise Leicester are in danger of getting overrun in midfield because the fullbacks need to, the wing-backs need to drop in to make a back five. Acres of space for opposition fullbacks, but that can be partly addressed if they've got three in midfield rather than the two. So it's all in there. It's all synchronised. There's always a method behind Leicester's play. And I think, you know, the way that they've adapted to two different systems and different challenges has been superb. And the Brendan has to take a lot of credit. So do the players as well.
Hello, listeners. Sorry to interrupt your show, but we've got a small favour to ask. We're currently doing a bit of a survey to find out more about you, your podcast listening habits, and the sort of adverts that are most relevant to you. If you feel like helping, please head to surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. That's pretty catchy, so I'll say it one more time. surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about Brendan, because obviously he's been a talking point recently as well with the vacancy at Tottenham Hotspur. And there was initially a lot of speculation that Spurs would be coming after him. And it seemed to be the perception that it was a fait accompli that he would leave Leicester for Tottenham if they made an approach. But it's not the case. And he came out and said it again yesterday that he's more than happy here. He sees progress at the club. He's got all the resources that he needs at the moment. I'm sure he wants a few signings in the summer to strengthen as well. But he still sees a challenge at Leicester City. And you can't argue with that. If he can get them into the Champions League, he will have a Champions League campaign. He's got a first FA Cup final for 52 years to look forward to. Spurs, as much as they are one of the more financially prepared clubs for the future and one of the instigators of the Super League, he seems to be more than happy and in a happy place with his life as well off the field as he is going to Bradgate Park and having tea and sandwiches in the railway calf there, the post office calf, sorry. And he seems to be enjoying his life at Leicester. So I think he backs himself that if one day, and I think it's inevitable, one day that he will move on from Leicester City to seek another challenge, as he has done throughout his career. But I think he backs himself to get an even bigger job than Tottenham, to be honest. But right now, he's more than happy where he is.
100% with you on that. No disrespect to Tottenham, but I think there's bigger fish for Brendan Rodgers to fry down the line. I trust his word. In this instance, when he says, you know, he's happy and his focus is on Leicester, 100% sure that is the case. And why wouldn't it be? You know, he just spoke about his qualities as a coach. Yes, he's a man manager as well, but he also, he states it, you know, quite vividly that he considers himself as a coach predominantly. And he's got such an abundance of talent to work with. He's seeing results. We spoke about the improvement on the points tally or the equaling of that up to now. You would assume that Leicester are going to improve on that. That's a sign of development. Europa League this year, hopefully Champions League next year. We know about the FA Cup final. There's progress left, right and centre at Leicester City. You know, the infrastructure of the club, we all know about the training ground, etc., the possibilities of the stadium improvement and just the all-round sort of globalisation in the branding of the club. You know, it's a good place to ply your trade, isn't it? And there's a lot to be said. I would massively agree with him, you know, in terms of being happy in your life and your work. Sometimes, you know, you need to be a little bit wary of what you wish for or might possibly wish for. But yeah, I think down the line there will be that opportunity for Brendan Rodgers. He's officially recognised now, isn't he, as one of the top managers in the game, coaches, sorry. And something will come along. But in the meantime, I think everyone concerned at Leicester City is delighted that he's, you know, he seems content. And for the semi-foreseeable future, his destiny lies with Leicester City. There's so much to achieve and you get so much more satisfaction out of that as well, I think. You know, he started a job, and I think in this case, as best he can, he's looking to finish it.
Well, one of the big things about Brendan, one of the things he loves about his job and why he's at Leicester is the number of players that he can work with and develop and improve. And I think there's no greater example right now than Kelechi Iheanacho. This is what Brendan said on Kelechi. I mean, he's 12 goals in 9 games. The top priority for me as a coach is helping players to develop. It's been difficult for Kels because of the style we normally play, which was one striker with Jamie Vardy. We had to change it around with injuries. He's come in and been exceptional. Not just his goals. He's so happy to work hard for the team and his quality is phenomenal. I mean, I've not seen a transformation of a player in such a short space of time like I'm witnessing now with Kelechi Iheanacho. And I think Brendan deserves a lot of credit for that. But obviously Kelechi as well for the way he's gone about his business in recent weeks. But it is quite extraordinary. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Matt, is something Brendan said in the press conference this week. He said about Kelechi, he's one of those strikers that is always out practicing his finishing. But a lot of the top guys he's worked with don't like to practice finishing. They don't like to be out there. They'd like to save it for a match day. Have you ever come across that?
It's just a good question, really. It's a fine balance, isn't it? Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. Some people, when they're in a hot streak, it's more often not. You know, if you're in a hot streak, you think, right, I don't want to sort of expend all my not fortune, but everything that you've got within you. You want to keep it there, ready to burst on a match day, and you don't want to use up all your talent, for want of a better word, because you feel sooner or later that bubble's not necessarily going to burst, but it's not going to be quite so buoyant. And you know, I have known of players who have done that, but majority of the time, it's when centre-forward has been struggling a little bit, really. And it's the opposite, you know, when they do what Iheanacho is doing, a fair play to them and him by staying behind, you know, just trying to get into some sort of rhythm, click into gear, if you like, because it can, you know, you hear of some players who are banging goals in left, right and centre in training but can't in a game. I've been in situations where centre-forwards, teammates can't even score in training. They can't score after training when it's just one-on-one with the keeper. They just clam up and it just leaves them. That ability that has got them where they are in their career just leaves them for short periods of time. But eventually, the genuine ability comes through. And hopefully things turn around, whether that's through perseverance or it's just a matter of time sort of thing. You know, you could say it with Jamie Vardy. I wouldn't imagine Jamie Vardy is doing too much different to what he does ordinarily. But you can see his frustration that it's not quite clicking for him in front of goal. You know, if he was at his very sharpest, he would have scored a couple on Monday night probably against Palace. But wasn't to be, but he still played his part, mind you. But it's, I mean, in Iheanacho's case, he's done wonderfully well. And while Brendan Rodgers can take praise for it, it sort of fell into place, didn't it? You know, to give him that opportunity, it's almost a bit of reflected praise for Brendan Rodgers. But Iheanacho is the one who's, I'm sure there's been little bits of tips of advice.
I think it's just having faith in him, isn't it, Matt? I think he's such a confidence guy. For Brendan to really reinforce that he still believes in him. I mean, because there was a time, I mean, I wrote it as well, where after that Crystal Palace game, where I thought patience is going to run out in the lad because he hasn't done it. And the timing of his form now is perfect for Leicester, because the buyback clause that was inserted in the sale that took him from Man City, the £25 million deal from Man City to Leicester, which meant Man City could have bought him back for 50 million. They could have just triggered that at any stage. It's now expired. So Man City can't go back from now. It cost them a lot more money now than that. It was a very expensive buyback anyway. So,
well, exactly.
And obviously they wouldn't have triggered that. But the form, it's been, and he scores goals from all sorts of different angles, all sorts of different goals inside the area, outside the area. And that finish was one of two wow moments on Monday night for me. The first one was the Johnny Evans tackle interception, the pace that he displayed to get back and recover from that. But that finish from Iheanacho, just to get it out of his feet, knock it to his left, and the keeper didn't even see it coming in top corner. It was a phenomenal finish. He is on fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, we're talking about him, aren't we? As are a lot of other people. But yeah, I take your point there about, you know, it's just giving him the confidence and showing belief in Iheanacho. And I think, like I say, there'll probably be little bits and pieces, tidbits of advice, you know, in terms of little runs to make in partnership with Vardy, or where to be when Vardy's operating in those wide areas. But basically, Iheanacho, he's that sort of player. He's spontaneous, isn't he? He's off the cuff. You don't go through the coaching manual with what he does. You never know quite what to expect next. He's been hit and miss previously, but now, you know, his ratio of success when he tries different movements, strikes at goal, it's incredible. And he's not only scoring himself, he's setting other people up for opportunities as well. You know, he looks a top-class player and he has to be praised for that. And, you know, but again, we're going back to that point about the system and Brendan Rodgers applying it, forced into it, really. And, you know, people can say it was a masterstroke, but it was the only plausible option, really. And if Kelechi Iheanacho hadn't produced the goods, who knows what position Leicester would be in? You know, it could be a repeat of last campaign. It doesn't look like it's going to be that way, but we said it a while ago, didn't we? Kelechi Iheanacho will have a big say on how Leicester fare, regardless of whether he'd been playing up top regularly or not. But he would have, you know, come in and out of the side to give Vardy rests, etc. And it was vital that he made some sort of contribution, but you couldn't foresee how big his impact was going to be.
Well, that impact as well, I think, has been a little factor in the decision to send Harvey Barnes back in for another clean-up operation on his knee. He was ruled out after the game against Arsenal with a chipped bone. They had been nursing him through it, but it finally went against Arsenal. He had to go under the knife. Now, he's had another little setback in training because they had hoped he might be back for the tail end of the season, possibly with an eye on the FA Cup final and England Euros, if he could play enough games to get himself back in the frame, although I think that would have been a long shot. But unfortunately, he's had another little setback in training. He's undergoing another minor operation to clean up the decision. They could have nursed him through and could have even got him back, but that would have risked him losing him for the start of pre-season. But, and I think a factor, although I put this to Brendan and he said, no, not really. It's great timing, really, that Kelechi and this system is working so well that they can take this time now with Harvey to get him absolutely spot on for pre-season. A big blow for the lad, though, as well, to miss out on an FA Cup final.
Yeah, missing out on plenty, isn't he? But somehow Leicester are coping because Barnes was looking the main man, wasn't he, really, at one stage. Well, you say that about a few Leicester players this season, which is obviously a positive. But, yeah, I think Iheanacho's form has made that decision probably a little bit more straightforward. Although I'm not surprised to hear Brendan Rodgers' response was as it was, because he will say he would never put a player's well-being in jeopardy. And I'm not saying that was going to be the case. But like you say, they maybe could have nursed him through. But I think that's a dangerous thing to do when you can nurse people, maybe as was the case with Harvey Barnes, and even that didn't end up very well, did it? But you can nurse them through before a sizable injury has been incurred. But after that injury, nursing them through, if you know deep down, ultimately, there's going to have to be a correctional procedure. That's a very dangerous game.
Brought to your ears by The Athletic, I'm Adam Hurry, and Football Clichés is the podcast you never knew you needed. Every week, to quite unnecessary depth, we examine the words, the phrases, the accepted wisdom, the mannerisms, the habits, the gestures, the symbols, the sounds, and the smells that everyone takes for granted in football, but which really are the glorious glue that holds it all together. For example, have you ever really listened to the Football League goals roundups? I mean, really listened to them? Because they all sound pretty much like this.
Team X went into this game with just one win in their last 13, and when Team Y took the lead inside 4 minutes at Stadium Z, the home fans were probably starting to fear the worst. But striker A had other ideas, and this game turned on its head in the space of 5 minutes midway through the second half. First, a smart finish from the edge of the box brought Team X level, and he repeated the trick on the hour mark to bring his tally for the season to 22. By now, Team X were in the mood, and although striker A squandered a gilt-edged chance to complete his hat-trick, on loan Dutchman winger B made it three with a curling effort from long range. Team Y's misery was compounded in stoppage time when midfielder C's late challenge on fullback D saw them reduced to 10 men. An afternoon to forget for manager E's men then, but Team X will hope they have finally turned a corner under caretaker boss manager F.
Listen to Football Clichés wherever you get your podcasts, and also ad-free when you subscribe to The Athletic.
Talking of welfare of young players, we've seen something I haven't come across before in terms of Wesley Fofana and his fasting for Ramadan and the processes that Leicester City have put in place to help him. And we saw against West Brom when he was substituted so he could break his fast after nightfall, and against Palace as well, we saw an agreement between the two sides to have a little break in play to allow Fofana and Kiyote to have to break their fast with having some energy gels and a drink. From what I understand, the players are not in any sort of distress or harm about it. It's something they're used to. They've been doing it all their lives, and they actually feel like it makes them be even stronger. Their faith is so important, so strong for them. But it is an interesting scenario, though, isn't it? I mean, perhaps something that they should put in place in all the evening games, because Leicester do have a lot of evening games between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, they do. And it's something that hasn't been sort of brought to light previously, has it? And remarkable, really, that they're able to, you know, the likes of Fofana, Kouyaté it was as well, wasn't it, on Crystal Palace side. That they're able to play to the extent that they can and the level that they do. Because, you know, a fluid's obviously, you're told to try and intake as much as you can throughout the day in preparation in terms of hydration and obviously food and nourishment and energy and everything. And to play with the energy that they do is incredible, really.
Absolutely. Well, let's see if they do it at Southampton on Friday night, which is another big game for Leicester, because if they win that, they go 10 points clear of fifth place, and that really would pile on the pressure on their rivals and put them in a great position to kick on to clinch that Champions League slot. Now, Southampton, always an interesting one against Southampton, isn't it? I mean, because everybody talks about the 9-0 last time they went down there, but they've given a decent account of themselves since then in many of the games, and that was sort of a freakish night. What have you made of Southampton? I mean, they go through hot streaks and then they go really cold again.
Yeah, they're so difficult to work out, aren't they? I mean, another 9-0 this season, not so long ago, against Man United as well, wasn't it? That is freakish to happen twice. And again, it's down at St Mary's, isn't it? And it's a Friday night. I believe that was the case previously, wasn't it? And rain is forecast. All the signs are there.
Well, mathematically, 9 points would definitely guarantee it. 8 points would, with the goal difference that they've got at the moment, would also be good enough. If they win the next two, that's 6 points. Do you think that would be enough? But I'd fancy them to take some points off the three sides at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Man United, Chelsea and Spurs.
Yeah, listen, everyone's looking at it, or a lot of supporters are, you know, thinking, oh, we've got Chelsea, Tottenham, Man United in the last three games. We need to get the job done. I don't think Leicester need to get the job done at all. I'm confident that Leicester will pick up results against those three teams, as they have done, you know, throughout the season. But I just think, you know, any team would like to get the work done as soon as possible, and the opportunity is there. Newcastle haven't been too bad of late, have they? Picked up a couple of results, and you know, Southampton off the back of the semi-final is not going to be straightforward. No Premier League game is. We saw that on Monday night against Palace. But I think even the 6 points could well be enough. I mean, you don't want to rely on that, of course, but ultimately I think it could be. Might, as you say, not mathematically at that time, after the Newcastle game, if Leicester were to be successful. But yeah, other teams can drop points. You know, they're playing other big teams as well. And it reminds me a little bit of the Tottenham scenario when Leicester won the league. Everyone was saying, oh, Leicester need to win this, because it was like they were assuming that Tottenham were going to win the last five, six games in the Premier League. And we saw Leicester ended up winning by 10 points. the title. Tottenham came third. People, most teams will drop points over a six-game period. I'm sure Leicester will, but I'm sure the other teams will as well. So very, very confident, but just quietly for now, Rob.
Well, fantastic, Matt. Thank you again for joining us this week. I'll see you on the South Coast, Southampton.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be racing each other down there. What is it, the M3 these days, is it?
Yeah.
But,
it's not a bad run. It's not a bad run, actually.
Yeah, a couple of Dick Dastardly's doing about 60 miles an hour, aren't we? A couple of old duffers going down the South Coast. But, yeah, look forward to it. And look forward to seeing you, as always, mate.
Great, and we'll catch up again next week. And thank you to all our listeners. Please join us again next time on 5,000 to 1.
The Athletic.